Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And today we'll be talking to you about creating a habitat for hummingbirds and butterflies in your garden. But first, we have some announcements to make. The El Paso Master Gardeners, in conjunction with the El Paso Rose Society, are conducting garden tours of the Rose Garden this morning. They started this morning at 10 a.m. They'll be there till 2 p.m., giving you all that you need to know on Rose Gardens. The garden is in full bloom at this point. It's a perfect opportunity to take out your camera, take your friends and family, and snap a few selfies out there.
It is absolutely gorgeous, and this is prime time for roses in El Paso. Where our heat has not set in, though it's been quite warm, that's also helped to contribute toward this beautiful bloom season that we're having. And so be sure and go out, and all those folks are so wonderful, and they'll, they may have their pruners with them, and they'll give you some demonstrations and show you a few tips and tricks that you can use in your own gardens.
So definitely take advantage of that first flush of blooms for the season at the Rose Garden. Another announcement that we have coming up is our native plant sale out here at the UTEP campus. That's to benefit the Chihuahuan Desert Gardens. And that's going to be held at the end of this month, April 29th and 30th, from 9 to 4 each day. So make sure you have that on your calendars and look for upcoming events as far as plants that are going to be available at the sale, as well as other fun things that may be happening out at the garden that weekend.
And I think it's a good time to stop and think about, planning your garden and what plants you would really like to purchase at the sale and identify a spot for those and make sure that you remember the mature size when you buy those. So as you're planning your garden,
right,
those exactly. are things to consider.
And there are many native plants that are magnets for butterflies and hummingbirds. So let's dive right into
exactly.
hummingbirds.
Exactly. The pentstemon, I think, is one of the most magnificent little flowers. And the only downside is that it only blooms once at this time of the year. But they're beautiful. But they also go to seed very quickly. And the hummingbirds absolutely love them because they love that trumpet shape that the pentstemon blossom has. And they're very high in nectar. So that's a really good thing for our precious little hummingbirds that have really come into town.
Exactly. So also your pentstemon love to self-seed in the garden too. So you buy a few and then you just let them go to seed and you'll have pentstemon all over your yard.
They keep on giving. So that's the best kind of propagation that there is.
Right. Exactly. So let's talk a little bit about maybe some of these little creatures and what we need to do as gardeners to be able to make not just a feeding station for them, but essentially we want to do is create a habitat. And a habitat includes all different, aspects to one's life, right?
So certainly. We want to keep them safe. There's different predators out there. Some of the bigger birds, though, they certainly can hold their own. The hummers are amazing. But we also have to, I think along these same lines with butterflies, and they're not quite as, they're not as aggressive as the hummingbirds are. But we need to provide good water for them. And they don't usually go to water at ground level is what I was reading. But you can do a little bird bath and have an emitter from your irrigation system. But it's also very, very important to keep those things clean because they do get yucky real quickly.
Right. And one of the things for birds and hummingbirds and butterflies, I should say, is not to make your water dish too deep. The shallow, the better. So a very, very just a small amount of water. You don't want to necessarily drown the butterflies in there as well. So somewhere where they can kind of perch and stay and then kind of drink from that. So a nice little droplets of water coming out, a trickle stream of clean, fresh water, mm-hmm. but nothing, don't feel like you need to make a swimming pool.
No, you
if
don't
you
have
will.
To. It has, and that will help to keep it clean as well. And we need to provide shelter for them. I have trees in my backyard and they have a couple of branches that they love to come back. And hummingbirds, the same hummingbirds will come back every year. And so having a place for them to perch, I do have a lot of flowers in my yard that are hummingbird friendly, butterfly friendly, but I also put up feeders. Mm-hmm. And you can do those with the recipe is one part sugar to four parts water. always boil my water and dissolve that sugar completely, and then I let it cool, of course, before I put it in the feeders. But there again, you have to keep those feeders clean too.
Right, exactly. So 4 parts of water and 1 part of granular sugar. And essentially, you want to dissolve that, right?
Yes, I use that extra fine sugar in it, and it dissolves much more easily.
Right,
and I'll hang those on a shepherd's hook, for instance, close to some plants, so I can encourage the hummingbirds to feed on the plants. And they're going to go to the plants first. They're attracted by color, where butterflies are attracted by scent.
Right. So really what you're trying to do is, when you're making that nectar, if you will, is that boiling of the water is not necessarily to dissolve the sugar. It's more to almost sterilize the actual syrup that you're trying to make, because once you put that into the feeder, then it has a definite lifespan and you just can't leave it there.
Exactly.
Indefinitely.
It does both. Like, as you say, it sterilizes. And I have gotten to the point, because I have some large feeders, but I won't fill them completely full because it turns out to be wasteful. And the ants are amazing. They have a way of getting in there. And the bees and the wasps and so forth and so on. But all of those things are pollinators. So it's important that, you know, and they learn to share. The hummingbirds are, they're very territorial, and they know how to take care of themselves. And they are the most amazing creatures to watch.
I went to a lecture one time, and the speaker was saying that hummingbirds are going to be attracted, of course, to the smell, but they are also more attracted to red flowers.
Yes.
And the interesting thing is that a lot of these hummingbird advocates have gone, is said that, told these manufacturers of these hummingbird feeders, then why do you have the yellow center in those feeders, when essentially what you can do is start attracting bees. And, you know, then you start having the bees and you start having just a mixed match of all different types of wildlife, you know, like you said, the ants on there. So after hearing that, I thought, oh, that's a great perspective on that. And the speaker had recommended to put red nail polish and dye or paint over the yellow portion of that. And I did that to my feeder. So I'm excited to see how that's going to be different for this year and probably have less bees, hopefully, and more hummingbirds.
I remember that lecture, mm-hmm. and I had never thought about that. And I noticed a hummingbird feeder that I bought this year doesn't have the yellow bee guards on it, because those are bee guards, but yet they're attracting the bees.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's so you can certainly be able to modify what you already have in your garden to make it more hummingbird friendly.
Certainly.
And another thing on that is, when you talk about shelter, you also want to look in your garden itself, is you don't want to place that shepherd's hook with that feeder just right in the middle of a clearing portion
right.
of your garden. You want to give your plants or give your hummingbirds or any kind of wildlife some support, and that could be, you know, the under canopy support. So those lower branches of those shrubs, it's going to be a place where they're going to nest, where they're going to rest, and perhaps, you know, even take some drinks of water. So it's looking at that holistically, and look at your garden vertically as well.
And it really does make a difference. I see what you're saying. I've put shepherd hooks under a tree before, or in a large planter where it has some protection, and they do need that. And I keep hoping that one of these days that I'm going to have a hummingbird nest. I've never had that happen, but I'm not going to give up hope. They're little bitty, tiny, tiny nests, and they are just the most amazing creatures to watch, as are our butterflies. I think it's important that we try to plant the things that attract them. One of my favorite plants for attracting butterflies is called Greg's Blue Mist, and it blooms prolifically all summer long, and the butterflies just flock to it. I was just sure a couple years ago that I had a whole mess of monarch butterflies, when in fact they were not. They were the viceroy. They're very, very similar, but I didn't care. I was just thrilled to have, and I'll have 25 to 30 butterflies at any time out there. So those are our friends, our pollinators. They're doing their job in the garden, and we need to take really good care of them.
Yeah, most definitely. And I always like to encourage folks to put your feeders whether they're hummingbird or bird feeders or a butterfly area, near a window so that you can enjoy them. We have ours right outside of our breakfast nook, and it's a really nice way where you're able to observe what's going on outside without interacting with them or messing with their natural, you know, tendencies. So it's really nice to be able to look at them, and it just really brings you a lot of pleasure. And because once you go outside and you start going out there, the hummingbirds start leaving, they start going away, or you kind of catch one off the side of your side vision over here. So make sure that you put it in an area where you're going to be able to enjoy that.
Outside that window is it? I have mine one of mine outside my kitchen window. And I had the opportunity one time to actually have a hummingbird perch on my finger. A friend up in Cloudcroft has to come home and she fills her feeders breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Oh my goodness.
And I thought, no way. And I witnessed it.
Yeah.
And she would. I've never seen that many hummingbirds in one place. And they were friendly. They actually liked you could just stand there. I put my hand out and one just climbed on my finger.
Oh,
and
that is so
as long
neat.
As I was close to the feeder, they didn't care.
Well, that's great for them to be friendly, but there are some predators out there. So folks, that anybody that has domestic cats really should be kept
careful
indoors on that, because they will find our little outdoor friends and take them out. So I think that, you know, as responsible pet owners, we should keep domestic cats indoors.
Right. Talk to your kitties
on
and
that.
Say, no.
Exactly.
Leave the hummers alone.
So we talked about all different types of native plants that are available that kind of attract these hummingbirds. Ocotillo is one that you don't think about, but you look up high and you see it. Their hummingbirds will love that. What else? Also, your brake lights, yucca, your hesperalo are really drought-tolerant plants as well. So anything that really has a trumpet-shaped flower going to be great to attract hummingbirds.
Honeysuckles are good.
Honeysuckles, again.
Trumpet flower.
Trumpet-shaped flowers. And then when you're looking to bring in butterflies, you want to look for more flat flowers with, you know, ray and disc flowers, and things that are similar to the aster family, you know, and look at similar where they can actually, the butterflies can actually stop and take the nectar on there. So
the zinnia, I would think, would be a really good, and the butterflies love lantana as well.
Right,
which is a great plant for El Paso.
Exactly. So when all else fails and it gets really hot out there, a lot of these plants continue to bloom. And I think with that, you know, I think it was really hard to decide on our plant of the week this week, but we're going to have to go with just penstemon. Any type of penstemon in general, go out there and find one. If you have a friend that has them in their yard, you want to make sure you're really nice to them when it comes to producing their seed heads, and ask to get some seed for them and incorporate that into your garden as well. So plant of the week, penstemon, look it up. There's many to choose from and plenty that will be available for us at the native plant sale later this month.
For sure.
So we're all out of time for the show, but if you all have any questions, please call the Master Gardener Help Desk at 771-2354. We want to thank Evan Walsh for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm Jan Peterzelka.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.